And welcome back to Dad's on the Air, coming to you around Australia on the Community Radio Network. In this program, we bring you informing and entertaining conversations with a wide range of interesting people on topics of fatherhood, family and parenting, and men's and boys' issues. Hi, I'm Bill Cable, and our guest today is one of our favourite people. We've had her on a number of times. Our guest is Bettina Arndt, speaker, author, online dating coach, social commentator, and Australia's best-known sexpert. Bettina, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Bill.
Before we start, I was just intrigued by one story you mentioned about a Sunday night in the early 80s when you were in a taxi and you were telling him you were going to speak at a conference and what you're going to speak about, and he replied to you, well, you must be a bit of a Bettina Arndt, aren't you?
It was a very funny moment. I'd become generic like soap powder. And he couldn't work out what I was laughing about.
Oh, we've now got the real thing.
But so, I do get that occasionally. Are you the Bettina Arndt? Yeah. So there you are. Yeah, I never know quite how to take that.
No, well, we want to talk today about the new movie, The Red Pill. Now, you've described the movie as a victory for free speech. Why do you see it that way?
I mean, it's an interesting history, this movie. It was made, well, over the last couple of years, by a young feminist filmmaker, well-known apparently, called Kathy Jay. And she was actually setting out to look at the rape culture on campuses, which of course is a total beat-up, but a classic sort of feminist area of interest, if you like, this idea that women on campuses are particularly prone to rape. There's actually no good evidence to support that. Anyway, she decided to go and have a look at all of that, and started interviewing a whole lot of people and ended up talking to some of the local men's rights groups. And she actually listened to them and decided in the end to do her whole program on men's issues. And so she made this movie called The Red Pill. The minute this news came out she was doing that, all her funding was taken away. She was told it would be a career-ending move to look seriously at men's issues. It was only crowdfunding that actually got the movie made. And it came out late last year around the world. And Australia became the only country where the screenings of the movie were actually cancelled. The movie was essentially banned as a result of a feminist petition, a change.com petition, where 1,000 or so women complained the movie was misogynist and violent and so on. None of them had actually seen the movie, but that was enough for the Palace Cinemas, unfortunately, to cave in and give in to this group. I talked to the poor owner of Palace Cinemas after that, and he said he wished he'd talked to me beforehand because he hadn't seen the movie either, but he believed what all the women were telling him, that this would lose, you know, some of his loyal supporters. Now, of course, within a week, they had 12,000 people complaining that he should never have done that, the poor man. And it just went on from there. Other cinema owners that went on, where were going to show the movie, received death threats. They had their businesses, you know, there were attempts to close their businesses down by putting all this adverse publicity out there about the movie theatre. There was a screening in Brisbane where they had to get police involved, and they got the audience to meet at one venue and be taken to a secret venue to see it. I mean, there have been a few screenings since then, but essentially it's been really hard to get to see it. So that's how I got involved in this whole controversy.
And the movie actually is made by a Canadian filmmaker, isn't it? Cassie Jay?
American.
She actually, I think, started from the opposite perspective, a bit like Nora Vincent, who wrote that book Self-Made Man. She came to it initially wanting to be critical of the men's movement,
didn't she? Yeah, she thought, oh, there's a bunch of ratbags. Misogynist, you know, women haters. She was going to have a go at them and got sucked in, if you like. She actually listened to the men she was interviewing. And that's what's fascinating, I think, because she's clearly a genuine, idealistic young person, brought up all her life, thought of herself as a feminist. And she listens to what men are telling her about their lives. And it's extremely moving. For me, of course, it's all the issues I've been writing about for 30-something years. male suicide rates, male, you know, the bias in the family courts, the use of ABOs as a weapon in marital separation, boys' education, why are boys doing so badly, why don't we care about men's lives, men's health, the whole gamut of issues which are causing men to be miserable. And exactly the same issues apply here. And it is really a very powerful movie, mainly because it's, you know, it is one woman's journey, and she ends up renouncing her feminism, mainly because of the way the feminists are behaving. And what I think is the funniest thing in all of this is the only violence in that movie is actually the feminist extremists who just, you know, we have people like Warren Farrell trying to give a talk at a university, and the feminist demonstrators just screech and screech and make all the noise they can and set off fire alarms and stop his talk going ahead. And when you see that, of course, it's very damning for the feminist movement to show how clearly they have stifled debate on men's issues.
Well, it's always easier to get emotional about things if you don't know the facts, isn't it? And I think most of the people criticising it probably haven't even seen the movie.
No, well, that was certainly true in Australia. And that's what got me involved. I hadn't seen the movie, but I thought, blow this, to put it politely. I am not going to allow people in Australia to have their viewing desires thwarted by this minority group, this loud, shrieking group of people who've decided they can determine what we're allowed to see. So I was in there campaigning even before I actually got to see the movie. And then, I actually saw it and I was most impressed. And I've been working really ever since to try to get a way of getting this movie out for people to see it. You can access it in various ways now, online, legally or illegally. But the important thing is I want bums on seats. I want men and women to go out there and to go to the movie theatres and be seen taking an interest in men's issues, which is what you're doing if you go to this movie. You're saying, I'm willing to consider what is happening to the lives of men. And it is, that's the important thing to me, to send a message to these extreme feminists to say, we are not going to put up with this debate being stifled.
And going back to the movie, why was it called The Red Pill?
Oh, that's from the Matrix, which I actually haven't got totally my head around, but apparently there's a red pill in the Matrix that allows whoever this main character is to see the truth of the world he's living in. And that's the essence of it. In Australia and most Western countries, we've had a total distorted debate around gender issues, and we only see half the story on issue after issue. I mean, I suppose the classic is domestic violence, which I've been looking at very carefully for the last few years, where we only hear about men who are violent. We never hear about women's part in family violence, which is very much half of all family violence. Women are in there participating. They're the major source of violence against children. And we have hundreds of millions of dollars being spent in Australia promoting a distorted view about that and presenting men as the only demons when it comes to inflicting violence within the family.
That's another aspect of censorship, I suppose. And with the film The Red Pill, the feminists have wanted to shut it down. As you said, there have been demonstrations, death threats or whatever. And it's a reaction around the world. Professor Sullivan in the United States has been who's a professor of women's studies, has been extremely critical of the film and wants to completely shut it down. People shouldn't be allowed to see it.
There's a hilarious video. I've got it actually on my website of her being interviewed about the red pill. She totally lies about the content of the pill. Red pill. She probably hasn't even seen it, and presents it as if it's all about men wanting to rape women. And there's nothing about that in the movie. So she presents this totally distorted view of the whole subject. And there's an absolutely fabulous video of the Canadian blogger Karen Strawn, who, is renowned, I think, for her brilliant analysis of gender issues. And there's a video I've also got on my website which shows her taking this women's studies professor apart over her crazy arguments around the red pill. The really good news is we've got a men's issues conference in Australia this year. I don't know whether you've talked about that yet, Bill, have you?
Look, we haven't, but we'd be very interested to hear about what you've got to say about that.
Well, this is a conference, international conference on men's issues, taking part in on the Gold Coast on between the 9th and 11th of June. And Cassie Jay is coming and showing the red pill there. And this woman I've been talking about, Karen Strawn, who's just phenomenal, brilliant, in totally on top of gender issues. I mean, she'll be speaking, I'm speaking, Mark Latham is speaking, Miranda Devine, all sorts of good, very good Australian people involved in men's issues. But some of the international speakers, you know, I mean, you mustn't miss this conference if you can possibly get to it. The other person I'm dying to hear is Erin Pizzi. I don't know whether you know about Erin, very famous woman. She was the first woman to start a women's refuge in Britain back in the 1970s. When she started her refuge, I mean, she was obviously concerned about violence towards women and very involved in the women's movement at that time. But what really shocked her is at her own refuge, she found a lot of the women who were coming into the refuge were violent towards other women, violent towards their children. And she started to speak out about this, and she got literally hounded out of the country. She received death threats. She had her dog killed. I mean, for a long time, she didn't even go back to Britain. And she's now in her 70s. She's been speaking out for 40 years about the lies that are being told about domestic violence. She actually came from a home where she had a very violent mother who used to beat her with a cord from an iron. And so she knew about women's violence, and she's an extraordinary woman, arguing that we are being lied to about domestic violence and we need to do something about it. And the fascinating story is back in the 70s, she was coming to Australia, but went via New Zealand and started giving some talks there at the women's refuges and talking about two-way violence and the research coming through that was showing that women are just as violent in family relationships as men are. And by the time, of course, the news travelled across the ditch, and her invitation to speak in Australia was cancelled.
Oh.
By, you know, of course, Anne Summers and her cronies, who were all very involved with the women's movement and the refugees at that time, which, you know, says something about this country and says something about the way this country has been going downhill for the last, whatever it is, 40 years. There's more and more control over the cultural debate around men's issues and about around women's issues, with only women's needs being promoted.
Yes, for people who are interested in Erin Pizzi, I might say we've had a couple of great interviews with her on the program, and you can find that on the website, the Dads on the Air website.
Anyway, she'll be here in June again, so very exciting. And, I mean, so many other people. There's a fantastic speaker from India. The Indian men's rights movement is really active, and, you know, of course, we hear a lot about horrible crimes against women in India, and they show that, you know, there are, some of that is very much being distorted. You often get a very different picture when you hear from people who are actually living in the country. It's a high incidence of rape compared to our incidence of rape, but as they point out, if you look at that per population, per head of population, it's absolutely tiny. It's fascinating hearing the cultural differences on some of these issues.
Yes, and we'll be talking about that conference a lot more, I'm sure. We're going to take a short break now. We're going to listen to a song by a well-known male. This is John Lennon in the Beatles singing Help.
Help, I need somebody. Help, not just anybody. Help, you know I need someone. Help. When I was younger, so much younger than today, anybody's help in any way. Now these days are gone, I'm not so self-assured. Now I find I've changed my mind, I'll open up the doors. Help me if you can, I'm feeling down, and I do appreciate you being around. Changed in so many ways. I've never done before. Help me if you can, I'm feeling down, and I do appreciate you being round. Help me get my feet back on the ground. Won't you please, please help me? When I was younger, so much younger than today, I never needed anybody's help in any way. But now these days are gone, and I'm not so self-assured. Now that I've changed my mind, I'll open up the doors. Help me if you can, I'm feeling down, and I do appreciate you being round. Help me get my feet back on the ground.
And that was Help by the Beatles, with John Lennon saying everything's perhaps not what it seems as far as men's lives.
Bill, can I just I want to tell people about how they get to see the Red Pill. Is
sure.
that all right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, what I've been working on, and I've got this fantastic organisation helping me, called FanForce, which enables people anywhere in this country who want to see the Red Pill to organise a screening in their local area. And FanForce goes out and contacts the movie theatres you suggest, you know, in your local area, and see and organises a screening in one of them, and then you have to sell a certain number of tickets in order for it to all go ahead. So there's no risk, no financial risk. I'm even suggesting if people don't want to be personally associated with hosting this, they could use my name. And we're trying to get screenings across the country. We've got them lined up already for Sydney and Adelaide and Maroochydore and all sorts of peculiar places coming through. In the next week, we should have Canberra, Perth, Melbourne all coming on board. And there's a possibility there for people to do this everywhere. So if you're interested, have a look once again on my website, which has all the details. And also, if you want to go ahead and host a screening, please get in touch with me, because I'll help you with publicity. I mean, you need to get people into that movie theatre, and that means I can help you get access to the newspapers and the radio stations and so on in order to bring people in.
And we're speaking with Bettina Arndt, speaker, author, online dating coach, and Australia's best-known sexpert. Bettina, you mentioned your website. Can you tell us what is your website?
Well, people can just Google my name, Bettina Arndt, but it's www, I can't say that, .bettinaarndt.com.au.
Okay, and Arndt is spelled A-R-N-D-T.
Yes, and I'm very proud of myself because I've finally got updated my website and got a lot of the material I've been writing on men's issues up there, and some of the videos and things I've been doing. So, you know, anyone who's interested in men's issues might find some material there that interests them.
Now, Bettina, I know Erin Pitsey has had a backlash, and she's had death threats herself. Have you suffered from anything in the Australian community?
Oh, no, I just get the comments, lots of horrible, abusive comments online, and that's why I don't use Twitter and so on. Mm. I mean, you know, put your head in the oven, you old bag, was one that really appealed to me. I rarely encounter anything directly, but I know they're out there, you know, plotting what they would like to do to me. But it's fine. Look, I've spent most of my life, I have an irresistible urge to get involved in issues where there's a certain amount of controversy. I suppose that attracted me back in the 1970s to talking about sex. It was a taboo subject, and therefore I thought, well, why can't we talk about this? And now, of course, now the big taboo subjects are all to do with men, are all to do with how men are being done over in various aspects of their lives. And that seems to actually pull me closer to the flames. So here I am. Anyway, I've decided I'm too old to care anymore. And in fact, one of the things I've just done is joined up with Mark Latham. And I don't agree with everything Mark does, but people may know about the fact that he's got turfed out of Sky. He was doing very well on Sky News, and he went too far, no question, in terms of personal comments about a few people. but he has also been talking a hell of a lot of sense, and he's one of the few men in Australia really speaking out about issues like domestic violence, and I admire him enormously for that. And we went on and had our first live streaming on there, his new Facebook page, which is Mark Latham's Outsiders, and had, I mean, I think that's had 30,000 viewings so far, which is pretty exciting. And we'll be going to be posting a lot of information about men's issues on that Facebook page. So it's a whole new means of reaching an audience who haven't been given much information about all of this before, and I'm delighted to be part of that.
I think feminism has changed from being a drive for equality to actually wanting to put men down. Do you think this is a way of opposing that extreme type of feminism?
Oh, absolutely. And you see, I've all my life called myself a feminist, much to some people's horror. But I, you know, I've always, of course, believed in equality for women, and women should have the opportunities that they certainly didn't have when I was a young woman. And I think it's fabulous. But I never intended feminism to grind men into the dirt, and that is what's happening. I'm absolutely appalled at what's happening to the law around domestic violence, law around, you know, ABOs, rape laws. Issue after issue in terms of our legal protections, where men no longer have the normal rights they used to have, everyone used to have under the law, the normal protections, the assumption there needs to be evidence if you're going to be charged with something, the assumption that, you know, you have a right to protect yourself, all the normal way the law has worked for centuries is going out the window as a result of legislators coming under pressure from women's groups to shift the law in favour of the alleged victim. And men need to look a lot harder at what lies ahead for them as they ever get into trouble legally. It's a really worrying situation. We've got this, one of the other people that's speaking at the conference is Augusto Zimmerman. I don't know whether you've come across him, Bill.
Oh, yes, I know.
Yeah, you must have him on the program. He's a fabulous law reform commissioner in Western Australia who's fighting this lone battle about this creep in the law in Western Australia to deny men their basic rights. And he is in there battling. He'll probably be fired soon, I think. I assume you can fire a law reform commissioner. But in the meantime, he's a total hero to the men of Australia.
Well, this is it's a worrying issue, but it's also inspiring to hear you, Bettina, speaking up so forcefully and with so many irons in the fire. So I might just repeat again the Men's Issues Conference on the Gold Coast from the 9th to the 11th of June. But most particularly, have a look at this film, The Red Pill, which we've been talking about, which sets out some truths in this very important area. Bettina, we're going to just play one more quick song. We're going to listen to Oh Daddy by Fleetwood Mac.
Daddy, you know you make me cry. How can you love me? I don't understand why. Oh, Daddy, if I can make you see, if there's been a fool around, it's got to be me. Yes, it's got to be me. Oh, Daddy, you soothe me with your smile. You're letting me know you're the best thing in my life. Oh, Daddy, if I can make you see, if there's been a fool around. Try.
And that was Oh Daddy by Fleetwood Mac. So it just remains for me now to give a special thank you to our guest, Bettina Arndt. Thank you very much for being on the program again.
It's a pleasure, Bill. Very nice to talk to you.
And we'd love to hear from any of our listeners. You can go to our website, dadsontheair.com.au, send us an email and we'll be in touch. If you'd like to listen to this show again or any of our shows, go to our website, dadsontheair.com.au, or you can follow us on Facebook or Twitter. And we'll be back next week with another show on Dads on the Air.